In our basic text, we read that spirit and substance are two aspects of the same reality, God. Spirit expresses by means of substance. So-called matter is pure divine energy manifesting as form. All of man's possibilities lie in the truth that he is divine, as is his creator, with whom he is one. As such, we have the inherencies of God, attributes which we inherit by our nature of our oneness with God. They are love, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power, life, and joy. With these inherencies, we can know that a rich, abundant life is ours. This is what we mean by prosperity. It is not money. Money is merely an effect, a byproduct that shows up once we demonstrate our inherencies of God. We can see this at the root of all of the famous so-called rags-to-riches stories. Colonel Sanders lived much of his life like the widow woman, believing that there was not much in her house, fearing the arrival of the creditors at any time. Colonel Sanders held a series of odd jobs throughout most of his life, even practicing law for a bit, until he had a courtroom brawl with his own client. Whenever he seemed to put a little money together, well, it just disappeared in a series of failed ventures. But he could do one thing really well, and it was deep down inside him. He could make tasty fried chicken. He worked for years operating a country-style restaurant out of the back of a service station. He began to get rave reviews and attention. He went within. He saw what he had in himself, and he began to bring it forth. Prosperity was always with him. He just needed to be true to himself in order to bring it into physical manifestation. He was not given so-called seed money to start his venture. He did not receive first, then give. No, rather, he gave first. He gave of and from himself. He went within, brought forth his talents, and gave. And he proved the law of compensation, the law of prosperity. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. The measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is a law, not a law as in a regulation, but a law as in a way of life or an explanation of how life is. As we give, so it shall be given unto us. Jesus puts this more plainly in the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven, which as we know is not a place but a state of consciousness where we are recognizing our oneness with God, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. He that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received the 1 talent, he went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. When he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtst therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Read metaphysically, this is a very clear message to us, that God consciousness is one of multiplying what we have, so that like as in nature, we are producing and living in a state of abundance. Erwin Gregg writes that the belief that it is God's will that man should experience lack, or that it is a sin to have abundance, is not substantiated in our scriptures. It is the great lie against or about God. The concept that in order to please God, you must be poor is a man-made belief. Dr. Gregg also writes of a very fine teacher of spiritual metaphysics who taught that consciousness predetermines what we experience. And as consciousness is fed or kept alive by spirit, all good is made manifest in our lives. This teacher, Gregg writes, demonstrated it in a beautiful way. At some point, though, she disappeared. And when she came back, she looked very shabby. Her clothes needed cleaning and pressing. Her hair was untidy, and she wore a heavy clanking cross hanging down in front of her. You might say she hid her talent in the dirt. She said, there has been a great change in my life, and I have taken the vow of poverty. This woman who had once taught metaphysics began to go around to all of the churches she knew and began asking for monetary help. She didn't see the contradiction of asking for money while at the same time taking a vow of poverty. One day, a leader in a metaphysical church said, I think I found the answer. When she calls, I will tell her, you have made a very sacred covenant with God. I wouldn't for the world interfere. I cannot come between you and God to meet this need. God is the answer to your need. You've taught us that. Why don't you trust him to supply you now? Dr. Gregg reports that it wasn't 2 weeks before she was back to her own consciousness of abundance. She reported that she had taken a vow of poverty, but God didn't want her to have poverty, because the minute she turned to him and said, Thou art the spirit of plenty, my plenty returned to me. Dr. Gregg rounds out this lesson on prosperity by stating that prosperity is really a state of well-being. It is a consciousness of good. The Spirit of God is that good. And the Spirit can bring forth our good or extend it through our consciousness. You see, it is not primarily material possessions. The minute the word prosperity is used, we are apt to think of a great amount of material possessions. But remember, it is in consciousness that these things come forth. As within, so without. As in heaven, so on earth. If you are rich in consciousness, the law of life brings forth its own evidence, its own signals of prosperity. Joel Goldsmith, the mystic, author, and healer, began his professional career working as an importer and exporter of fabrics, having nothing to do with the spiritual or religious way of life. Had he stayed with it, he would have earned a significant amount of money. Had he created vision boards, business plans, and the like, he certainly could have grown and continued in that business world, and he would have, by all means, have been successful. But he would not have been prosperous, as we have come to use that term, prosperity. Instead, he turned within, and he found Christian Science, and he found that he could apply it and bring about healings. And so he became a Christian Science practitioner and healer in Boston. His teacher told him that he would not likely be successful because Boston is an area that is filled with wasps, and he had a Jewish surname and a Brooklyn accent. Nevertheless, he opened an office. It was sparse, and he sat, and he worked. And eventually someone came and received what was described as a remarkable healing. Soon he had a line of patients out the door and into the hall. That is how successful his practice had become, measured by the outward signs of effect. But Joel recognized when he went within that there was a problem. The problem was that he ran his Christian Science healing practice very similar to the manner in which he ran his import-export business. That is, he prepared invoices, kept track of who owed him what, created charts of accounts, business plans, and made projections as to whether or not he was going to be able to meet his expenses each month. And when he saw that he had a sufficient supply of receivables, he rested easily, believing that his needs would be cared for. In a time of meditation and turning within, he realized the error of all of this, that he had become dependent on outward effect for his business. He realized he had left God out of the picture. He went into his office and he wrote off every bill that he had sent out, no questions asked. He was now left without purse or script. And he still had the month's cost obligations that were due and owing. Nevertheless, he had turned within and had an expectancy that all would be well. A few days later, and seemingly merely by happenstance, he ran into an old friend from his export-import days, and they got to talking. Eventually, the old friend realized that Joel had taken care of him one night when he, the businessman, had been drunk and Joel had sent out his suit to be pressed, put him up, fed him a meal, and then put him on his way the next day with a little bit of money in his pocket to boot. You see, Joel had given. That former colleague sat down and wrote out a check and gave it to Joel. And it was for the exact amount of the upcoming monthly expenses. Satisfied that he had made the demonstration of the law of prosperity, Joel decided he would never again send out a bill, nor would he run his Christian Science healing practice as a business. Because he did that, he detached himself from the human concept of Christian Science practitioner as a profession. And this allowed for another message to come through. For him, a message that would not have been possible otherwise. And that was the message of the infinite way. And so he left Christian Science because he felt he could no longer be bound to their teachings, inasmuch as this new message was coming through, or was coming through in a way that he would not have been able to express within the confines of that church at that time as he saw them. And so he gave up his successful Christian Science practice. And once again, he returned to an empty office, and there he sat and worked and wrote the books, The Infinite Way and Spiritual Interpretation of the Scriptures. As a result, people began to seek him out and encouraged him to give Bible lessons, something that he had never done before. And that became successful too. It then led to the idea to lecture on the Infinite Way and to go out on the lecture circuit, where he traveled the entire globe, bringing forth the message that was coming through to him, in the Infinite Way books, and in the other books that came forth. Those lectures were turned into books, which are available widely, but more, those recorded lectures, which were carefully preserved, now exist today, all over YouTube and all other sources on the internet. Now, Joel died in 1964, but that message continues on, grows, and expands. It not only met all of Joel's human needs, but it produced a level of prosperity that has prospered all of us. Had Joel not turned within, none of that prosperity would be possible. He would not have brought forth prosperity as an inheritance, as something within him. Of course, his roots for all of this were in Christian Science, and we cannot forget that that message came forth from a woman in the mid-1800s who turned within while living in a small one-room boarding house that she rented, and barely able to make the rent at that. When Mary Baker Eddy died, she was living in a luxurious, sprawling estate outside of Boston, and she had acquired millions of dollars worth of land, upon which is erected the Christian Science Headquarter Church, also known as the Mother Church. Because she turned within, she tapped into her inherited prosperity, and it came forth. And not only did it meet her needs, but it prospered all of us as well, for one of her students was Emma Curtis Hopkins, who also turned within and found that the messages from the East, from the Upanishads, also belonged as part of this message. And she went off on her own and became known as the Teacher of Teachers, influencing Malinda Kramer, the Brooks Sisters, Charles Fillmore of Unity, Emily Cady, and Ernest Holmes, the founder of Religious Science. Because these people turned within, they were able to align with the laws of the universe that governed their nature. They were able to bring it forth. Prosperity was the result. What we believe in our consciousness is what comes forth and brings forth the results. And according to your belief, it is done unto you. Matthew 9:29. Our beliefs reside in our subconscious mind. Joseph Murphy writes, "The infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind reveals to me my true place in life." In Divine Science, its principle and practice, we read, "Conscious awareness of truth and the opening of our hearts and minds to the acceptance of the fullness within our own nature is our greatest need. All good, wisdom, strength, life, health, love are ours now. They are our inherencies. Our only job is to go within and realize our oneness with the Father." Catherine Ponder writes of a businessman who turned things around financially and health-wise by daily affirming, "There is only one presence and one power in my life, God the good." As he began to affirm this, things gradually improved for him. Nothing seemingly spectacular happened at first, but he could see that good was becoming more and more evident in all phases of his life. It encouraged him and gave him hope to persevere in claiming God's blessings. He continued, day by day, to realize there is only one presence and one power in my life, God the good. Gradually, his wife's health had improved. They were both able to give up the expensive drugs and health treatments that had been so long prescribed to them. Soon the man was offered the kind of job that he had long desired. Later, the way opened for him to buy that business. That business then prospered. It prospered in ways he could not have foreseen. Their child matured, and although troubled at first, soon was able to find work that challenged and satisfied him. That businessman continued to keep the statement where he could see it on a daily basis, and more importantly, use it on a daily basis. That statement, there is only one presence and one power in my life, God the good. Prosperity is our inheritance. It is our birthright. We should claim it. And we claim it by turning within and listening for the still small voice that tells us that we are individualized expressions of God, that there is a path laid out for us, and that we should align on that path, regardless of what we think it will do for us or whether we can earn money or not. Follow this inner guide, and prosperity will result. It is your inheritance. It cannot be any other way. Shall we come together now for a few moments of silent meditation? In an effort to make the lesson today practical, let's close our eyes, sit up straight, take a deep breath in and out. Allow ourselves to become still. In the stillness and the silence, we can bring forth into expression the following thoughts. Our mind is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and the ideas that dwell in it. We who dwell in it are the Lord's, individualized expressions of God. We are founded upon the seas. We are established upon the floods. We shall ascend into the hill of the Lord with clean hands and a pure heart. We will not ascend with vanity, nor will we ascend with shallow, superficial thoughts. We will follow our true path, guided from within. We shall receive the blessing from the Lord, righteousness from the God of his salvation. Seek him. Seek the message to us from within. Lift up your heads, open your hearts, let God come in. God is all, and is strong, and is mighty, and is the universal, and is the only presence there is. Align yourself with this everlasting presence. You shall feel the presence of God within. you shall be at peace. You will have an inner knowing of your life's work. Then, and only then, prosperity will come and will touch all in your consciousness. I am come that you would have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and for my his. Praise him.
Go in peace and have a blessed week.